Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. My wonderful co-host Andrea is off today. I am an expert when it comes to babies that don't sleep. I'd like to say that do sleep, but my daughter, being on the autism spectrum, having ADHD and some other issues, sleep was so hard to find. She didn't sleep the night till she was six. So it was very, very frustrating. Now, hopefully you have a neurotypical baby, or if you don't have one, that you do have less sleep issues. But if you are having trouble, whatever your child may be, it is so important to get a good night's sleep. And here to help us is a wonderful Ingrid Pruer. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
It's so great to have you here. How did you get into this?
So I'll make the long story short. My first child was an incredible sleeper. And even though I was working in finance, I knew that I wanted to do something else. When my second child came along, he was more what I would consider kind of the textbook baby. He was up like every 2.5 to 3 hours. By that point, I had met someone in the sleep consulting industry that I looked up to very much, and she was transitioning from helping families one-on-one to creating a certification for future child sleep consultants. And she asked me if I would come on board for her to mentor me so that I could start taking over her clients. And honestly, it was one of those situations where I knew what it was to work in finance, have crazy long hours, and there was no way that I could allow my sleep to be so impacted when I started going back to work, that when my second one was born and he started doing all of these different things, I put myself in a situation of like, what is, you know, this is incredible need for every human being, whether they're babies or they're adults, the need for sleep. And so I naturally fell into my niche. Like, this is what I love what I do, and I fell into it. And I felt, into it in the perfect hands, because I learned from a very knowledgeable woman, so Deborah Petrick. She was awesome. So,
well,
yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
How it came
about. What are some of the key things? What were some of the key things, Ingrid, that you learned that can help folks and that have been helping folks that you've worked with?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with consistency and making sleep a priority. We are in a society where we feel that we have to have our kids in so many different social scenarios when they're first born and keep them at that kind of at that pace, but they cannot handle it. Most kids cannot. They really teach us that we have to just step back and take time, just allow them to take time and allow them to rest in an environment that's conducive to sleep, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to have a nap in a stroller. I'm going to have them sleep, in a rock and play all the time. Or I'm going to allow the child to sleep in a swing all the time that's moving. You know, there's a lot of things that we end up implementing that end up teaching our child that they cannot sleep on their own.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was going to ask about that. You know, obviously there's some people or babies that are born and they're great sleepers, and others have different issues and why they're not sleeping. But there are things that parents can be doing to exacerbate the problem of a not so great sleeper.
Exactly. And we have to look at the situation for what it is. In some situations, the parents have no choice but to teach them, that they need rocking to sleep or they need feeding to sleep. The child may have reflux, so the parents have to hold the baby upright for 15 minutes. And during those 15 minutes, the baby ends up taking a cat nap. So then they try to put the baby down, and the baby wakes up because now we've changed their sleep environment. So there are times where we can't avoid it, but it doesn't mean that the child will never be a great sleeper. You can teach your child and empower them to be able to sleep on their own without your need of helping them.
And so I'm guessing the first thing is that consistency you talked about.
Yeah, it's sitting down, whether you're a single parent and you have some support of a friend or a family member, or if you are married or live with your partner. It's about everyone who takes care of this baby in the home environment to be on the same page as to what is going to take place. Like, what is going to be sleep routine? Let's all pretty much do exactly the same thing so that we're all giving the child consistent cues of how to learn to fall asleep. We don't want to not have a plan in place, because when we don't have a plan in place, we try many different things. I mean, the internet is full of ideas, and so are all the books out there. But what happens is that we're using too many soothing techniques creates chaos. And it actually confuses the child because we're not consistent in a particular approach. Well, I hope that answers your question. There's a way more to go into that, but yeah.
I know, it's a short interview. So talk to us about the role nutrition plays in all this.
It's, you know, what I've seen, so the reason why I ended up deciding to get certified as a holistic health coach and a lactation counselor, because so many of the little kids I work with, I mean, as well as adults, but specifically kids, I noticed that it goes hand in hand. The way they eat depends on how well they sleep, and how well they sleep depends on how well they eat, right? And so what I started noticing, because I have like all my clients log for me, I started noticing particular patterns that maybe if we fed the baby right before nap time, they would sleep longer. Or, you know, what's happening at night? Like if the baby's, you know, eating all day long, in short, with, you know, and they just ate maybe like an hour and a half ago, they're starting to mimic that at night as well. So how do we teach them, or how do we help them learn to sleep, but also learn to eat well? A lot of families say, I mean, I get it all the time, my kids don't eat well at all. Or they're just constantly snacking. How do I get them to stop snacking? Well, you have to set, you know, a few boundaries. But it really comes down to noticing how much nutrition has an impact on how the baby's sleeping. Or if the baby's being nursed, something that mom is eating that's affecting the baby's digestive system that will create waking. So I look at everything that impacts how a baby can sleep. And this is what I teach my families to do, because I always tell everybody, even, you know, when I'm doing workshops or my own radio show as well, is that I want to empower parents so that they can learn what to do and read their child even more than they already know them, right? Because when you're sleep deprived, you can't tell half the stuff that's going on, because you are just kind of on, you know, on an automatic button on. That's it, just going through the motions. So,
but it's amazing. Yes, I lived that way for many years, and it's terrible.
You did, yes. You poor thing.
I know. And people ask me why I didn't have another. I'm like, are you kidding me?
It was too much.
It was too much. You know, I mentioned earlier about the spectrum and ADHD and other things, and we spoke before the show. So you have worked with kids that have these issues. Now, I'm assuming you take the same approach, but sometimes it doesn't work as well. Or what have you found in your experience?
Well, actually, what I have found in studies, right, we're all biologically made up in the same way, meaning we all need sleep to develop. We all need sleep to be able to function. And just because a child may be on the spectrum, their body, in order to function well, still needs sleep. So when I work with kids on the spectrum, I would say it's more of a group collaboration. So I work with the parents and ask them a lot of questions in regards to what kind of therapy is the child under? How do I work with a therapist in order to create a plan based on this particular child, so that the sleep training that we do is not something that's going to impact the therapy that they're trying to go through, you know, trying to break through. So it's really important to see how the child is, you know, developing with the therapist, and then incorporate what I can do.
That is great advice. You can learn more about Ingrid. Check her out on Twitter at Ingrid Pruer. Ingrid and then Pruer. Ingrid, it's been great having you on. I'm Lisa Davis, and I'm so glad you're listening. You can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD.